So we come to morning session one, message three on the divine light. This is in page 27. If you can open your binder and you can take out this sheet and open to this sheet. Hallelujah for the divine light.
Amen.
Amen. I'd just like to remind you of the cycle that we see yesterday, that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we see a cycle of the spiritual life. Right. Begins with the eternal life, right? And that eternal life issues in a divine fellowship. And that fellowship will bring forth a divine shining, a shining of the divine light. And in that light, many times we see our defects, we see our shortcomings, and therefore we need the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all unrighteousness. And as a result, we get more life added into us. And this is a cycle to help us to grow in the divine life. So how about let's read Roman numeral 1 together. According to the cycle of our spiritual life, the eternal life issues in its fellowship, and the fellowship of eternal life brings in the shining of the divine light within our being. I really have a burden to help us to see that this is a cycle. A cycle means that it's going to be repeated again and again, right? So many of the things that we're talking about or we're fellowshipping over is not something we would experience once for all. But we need to experience them again and again. And we should never think that we will graduate from this kind of experience. Now, it's sad to see that many Christians, after they have received the Lord, they realize that they are born of God. They have the divine life. They don't know what else to do other than waiting to go to the heavens one day. But we need to see that this life needs to grow in us. So this cycle, the goal of this cycle is to bring us onward in the growth of the divine life until we reach the maturity in life. This is something that we need to be in our daily life. We need to be in this cycle so that we will grow in a normal way. Now, I was really touched in this past training on the book of Genesis that the Lord needs many young people to be in this cycle, to have their normal growth in life so that they can reach the maturity in life later on in their, life does take time to grow, right? So we need to experience this cycle so that we will grow, we will proceed we will grow properly, normally in the divine life. Not only you need to grow, but the Lord needs you to grow so that he would have a group of people who will be mature to dispense life to the others. But it's easy to sometimes that we get stuck, right? And I felt this message today is the place that we get stuck the most. That we many times we come to the Lord. We love to fellowship with the Lord. And we're learning to open ourselves to the Lord. But when the Lord shines on us, many times we withdraw. Or we do not go on. We get stuck. Sometimes someone wants me to play these games, And many of these games have levels. So unless you complete a level, you can't really go on to the next level, right? And many times I play, and there's usually a few places that I get stuck. I try once, I try twice, I try three times. I keep getting stuck at the same place, so I don't go on to the next level, and I got frustrated. So I give up, I become a dropout of the game. Oh, Lord Jesus, we don't want to get stuck in the growth of the divine life. So I hope our fellowship this morning could really help us to unstuck us in this cycle. We want to grow. We don't want to be the same year after year. Amen. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2. God is light. Light is the nature of God's expression. Brothers A. The divine light is the divine life in the Son operating in us. This light shines in the darkness within us, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. Sisters B.
When we follow this light, we shall by no means walk in darkness, Amen. But shall have the light of life.
Amen. We have to see a little bit, what is this light that we're talking about? This light is not something extraordinary, phenomenon, it's not something physical, right? Neither is this something that we have to try to acquire by understanding its complexity. No, but according to 1 John 1:5, what is light? God is light. Or who is light? God is light. Right, so light we're talking about here is none other but God, none other than the person of God Himself. Yes. If you contact God, you have light. If you don't have God, you don't have light. So we need to be clear that when we have fellowship, when we genuinely have fellowship with the Lord, the person who we're fellowshipping with, He is the light. Right? And when we contact Him, many times we see our defects, we see our shortcomings. So light is not something we try to gain. Light is God Himself. light is a little objective. But when God shines in you by giving you a sense within, in your fellowship with the Lord, sometimes you get a sense concerning your condition, concerning where you are. That kind of sense is the shining of the divine light. And that is very objective. And that's something that we all need to experience. And also we see in the Bible that life also always follows light. In order for us to have more life, right, we have received life. And life has been, we have been begotten of God. And we have God's life in us. But this life needs to grow. And in order for life to come forth or to grow, we need the light. And we see this in Genesis, actually in Genesis chapter 1. When God created, in God's recovering of the earth, you know, before light comes in, first God says that there be light. Yeah, right? There was light on the first day. And then on the third day, the land come up, and then there's life growing forth from the land. But that life was very basic, very elementary, mostly plant life. In order to have the higher life, the animal life, and the man's life, you need a stronger light. That was recorded in the fourth day, right? God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. So here we see a principle. In order for us to have more life, we need the light. Without light, life cannot grow. So we need the divine light in order to grow in life. I want to read a little bit from this book, The Knowledge of Life. Life always follows light, and only light can bring forth life. Therefore, if we want to know the condition of life in a man, we must see the state of the enlightenment within him. We often think that if a man becomes a little more zealous, his life has grown. Or if he's a little more pious, his life is improved. Such concepts are totally incorrect. Life is not in the zeal of man, neither is it in the piety of man. There's only one realm and one source of life, and that is light. Life rests with light. Life also comes from light. To determine whether a person has grown in life, we must observe the condition of his enlightenment within. As we go on in our spiritual life, this light within us must increase more and more. And actually, in our experience, often you feel you're worse than you were before. I don't know how many of you have this experience. Especially some who have, received the Lord for a while. As you walk with the Lord, Actually, you're not that different from the way you are before. But in your realization and in your experience, you feel you're worse than before. Actually, that's a very healthy and normal experience. That means you're under the light. You've seen your defects, which you didn't see before. So we need to have more of this experience. Okay, let's read B1. To walk in the divine light, which is the expression of God, is to dwell, live, move, and have our being in God. Sisters, too. Amen. Oh, Lord. Let's read C together. When the divine light shines, all in the truth are a reality. But when we are in darkness, we have a sense of emptiness and vanity. We like to be in the light, but many times we end up in darkness, right? And when there's darkness, there's a sense of emptiness and vanity. And actually, another symptom of a person in darkness is he always see other people's fault and shortcomings. So if you ever find yourself all the time complaining or comparing, you know, that brother, he talks too much. or that sister, you know, she's too worldly. So if you all the time looking at other people and considering their shortcomings and defects, that proves, or that's a symptom, that you are in darkness. That you have been cut off from the fellowship, of this divine fellowship. So we need to beware. If you're in the light, many times you see your own faults and own defects. But if you're you're all the time seeing others' defects, you may be in darkness. And what should we do when we're in darkness? Oh Lord Jesus. Let's turn to page 28. I enjoyed this little prayer in paragraph 2. Let's have this little prayer together. Starting from the second paragraph, the third line, Lord. Okay, let's pray these together. Lord, please forgive me. Although I do not know where I am wrong, I still ask you to forgive me, Lord. I sense darkness within me. I am completely surrounded with darkness, and I cannot bear it. Lord, because I am in darkness, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me with your precious blood. So if you feel empty, if you feel vain, if you have been away from the Lord for a while, it might be because you're in darkness. You're not in the light. This is a good prayer to pray. Lord, I may not know why I'm in darkness, Lord, but forgive me. I want to come back to you. I want you to shine upon me. I want the light, Lord. I don't want to stay in darkness. Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 3. The divine light is crucial in maintaining our fellowship with God. Brothers A, our life relationship with God is unconditional and unbreakable. However, our fellowship with Him is conditional and must be maintained. Sisters B. Amen. Brother C.
The result of being in the light is a recognition that we are utterly sinful.
Amen.
The light exposes our failures, mistakes,
wrongdoings, impure motives, evil intentions. Sisters D.
Our light exposes us and penetrates every hiding place.
Amen.
However, whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses.
Amen. Altogether, E. Amen. The shining of the divine light and the cleansing of the Lord's blood help us to maintain the divine fellowship with the triune God and is for the growth in life. Amen. A says our life relationship with God is unconditional. So we would never lose our salvation.
Amen.
If you have believed in the Lord, rest assured that you will never lose your salvation.
Amen.
In John 1:12 says, 12 and 13 says, he who believes into him, they have the authority to become children of God.
Amen.
And 13 says, these are they who are born of God.
Amen.
You can never be unborn, right? Once a child is born, that's your child. There's a life relationship with that child. Maybe that child later on rebels and doesn't talk to you, but that is still your child, right? So our life relationship with the Father, with God, is one of Father and the son, and children, right? We would never lose that life relationship. However, our fellowship with Him is conditional and must be maintained. Must be maintained. Yesterday we enjoyed that. We need both the vertical fellowship and the horizontal fellowship. But that fellowship can be easily broken, right? By a little offense, by a little stubbornness or rebellion, right? So we need to maintain that fellowship. If that fellowship is broken, we must have a way to come back to that fellowship. And that's where the light comes in. The light here is to maintain our fellowship.
Amen.
Now, C says the result of being in the light is the recognition that we are utterly sinful. The light exposes our failure, mistakes, wrongdoings, impure motives, and evil intentions. So many times in our experience of the divine light, it's not so comfortable, right? Because if your room is dirty and I flip on the light, you're not comfortable seeing your dirty room, right? It's not a comfortable experience. But I want to impress you that to be under the light, to see your failures, to see your shortcomings, this is something very normal and very healthy. I want to read again from the excerpt. What does it mean to obtain the enlightenment from the Lord? It says, whenever such a person, this is in page 29, second paragraph, such a person will definitely and frequently obtain enlightenment, whether it is in hearing a message or reading the Bible. As soon as he receives the shining of light, he humbly accepts it. On the one hand, being sorrowful, many times we do feel sorrowful when we're under the light. And on the other hand, worshiping the Lord. He is sorrowful because of his own desolation and failure. He worships the Lord because of his mercy and his shining, because of the shining of God. Being in the light, he does not see others' faults, but only his own deficiencies. Thus, he does not condemn others. He only feels that he himself is the most pitiful person, like a worm or a maggot, which cannot lift up its head before the holy God. This is many times our experience. You feel like a maggot. You feel like not worthy. But that is actually the Lord shining upon you, on your deficiency. So when the light exposes and penetrates the hidden condition in your heart, our response is very important. I think first, many times our first reaction is just to hide, right? Oh, I can't stand this. I don't want to see me this way. But we should remain open to the Lord. Another response that we may have is we may reason with the Lord. Lord, I'm this way because he may, you know, that was someone else's fault. I'm this way because my parents provoked me. We should not reason. We should not try to dispute with the Lord, but we should remain under the shining of the Lord. Actually, in 1 John 1:7, when the Lord shines on you, the blood of Jesus, his Son, is right there to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And his life is ready to increase in you. He's shining something that is blocking the flow of the divine life. And the purpose of His shining on you is not to condemn you. He wants His life to grow in you. So He wants that thing removed. So He has to make you realize that that is blocking the flow of life. Amen. You know, I was just considering my experience, especially about serving. You know, I started serving young people when I was in college. You know, at first, when I started serving, I felt, you know, okay, not too bad. You know, like the brothers, I can do this, I can do this, I can handle it. So I thought that I know these young people, I know what they're thinking, so I can help them. And especially when the, you know, many times in the on the Lord's Day class, when they feel boring, I would start, I wouldn't say it, but I would say, oh, yeah, the older ones may be, you know, too boring, and their way of serving is not that, you know, not that entertaining. You know, maybe I can do a better job. That kind of service was in darkness. But later on, as I gradually started to serve, then another kind of feeling many times came in, and I felt like, I'm not worthy to serve these young people. Now, when you're under the light, when the Lord shows you how, what kind of person you are, you know, more than one time I told the brother, I don't think I can serve anymore. I think these young people are better without me. I think I'm damaging them by serving them. So many times I wanted to quit, but the Lord wouldn't let me quit. And you shouldn't quit. I share this to many of you because I know you're serving. And as you're serving, as you're under the shining of the divine light, you will realize, you know, you're a terrible person. You need the Lord. But don't stop serving.
Amen.
Because if you stop serving, you know, you might cut yourself off from the source of light. You know, when we're by ourselves, we always think that we're okay. But when we're with others, many times the Lord has the opportunity to shine upon us.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. We need to go on.
Amen.
And one lastly, I was really encouraged by another experience in the Bible, and that was Martha's experience. And I want to just read a little verse to you. You know, in Luke chapter 10:38. Here it says, now as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was being drawn about with much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, does it not matter to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to do her part with me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but there's need of one thing, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Here, Martha was serving, but she was kind of serving in darkness. She corrected the Lord, Lord, why didn't you do something? You know, and she was blaming her sister for not helping her. You know, why do you just sit there and listen? You know, come. She has the heart. She received the Lord into her home, and she was serving. But the Lord shined on her. Martha, Martha, you were anxious and troubled in many things. Right? You may be doing a lot of things, but you're anxious. You're troubled. So I knew this story, and I identify with Martha many times, especially when I'm serving. That I'm anxious about so many things. But I was encouraged with the fellowship with the brother. You know, Martha eventually learned her lesson. Because in John chapter John chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Here it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Therefore, they made him a supper there, and Martha served. So Martha progressed. Martha did not say anything here. Martha just served. Oh, Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord. Now we need to go on. We need to remain open to the Lord's light. And we need to go on in the cycle of life so that we can grow in life. Yeah.
Peter Gunderson, I'm from church at Brooklyn Park, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Twin Cities, Minnesota.
Praise. I think it's got up here close enough, too. Huh? Okay. Praise the Lord. How about we read on the bottom the focus of our message? Our relationship with God in life is unbreakable.
However, we need to learn to maintain
our fellowship with Him by living in the divine light and by remaining open to its shining. This will cause us to grow in the divine life unto maturity. And let's also read Roman numeral 4, the bold. The way to be enlightened and live in the divine light includes 5 practical points. So just as a conclusion, that this is very practical fellowship. And it's helping us to walk in this divine light. And this is our condition, even though we're children of God, and that's firm, and that can never be taken away from us, our condition can vary. But God wants us to have the best condition.
Amen.
So, in 1 John, John writes this epistle, which is very precious. And before we fellowship about these 5 practical points, I just want to mention something that you should consider. John's writing of this epistle. You know, John, the last book in the Bible is Revelation, which was written, according to the historical record, probably around 90 AD. But after John saw this great revelation, John saw the whole universe stretched before him. He saw the local churches. He saw the God on the throne, the Jasper throne. He saw all the judgments of God. He saw Satan doing his best to produce a great Babylon and to even produce a false counterfeit of the bride of Christ, the harlot. And then he saw God's judgment. He saw the bowls, the trumpets, all these things, the Antichrist. This is what John saw on the island of Patmos. God gave him this great vision. And then as a conclusion, he showed him this beautiful, wonderful city, the New Jerusalem,
Amen.
Which is God's habitation for eternity.
Amen.
And he showed him the bride, this lovely bride, fully clothed with all the righteous garments and shining out like the sun, clothed with the sun and the moon and the stars over her head. This is what John saw. But you know what? He saw that. And he wrote that letter to those 7 churches. Then, according to the historical record, he was released by the Romans out of that exile for a few years. And he went back, it seems like, to Ephesus, according to history. And there, he wrote 1 John. Think about that. When he spoke to the brothers and sisters, when he wrote this epistle, he didn't tell them, "Wow, I saw all this stuff. I got to tell you, watch out for the Antichrist. Watch out for this. Watch out. There's bowls. There's trumpets. This must be a trumpet. This must be a bowl. This must be this." You know what John did? He realized the goal of what God was after is this wonderful city, this beautiful bride. He gave us the practical way to reach this goal.
Amen.
And this goal is reached by these mysterious items. When I was first saved, I never liked to read 1 John. It just seemed so confusing and kind of nebulous and just not definite enough, you know. Give me some points, boom, boom, boom. But you know, through the ministry we've seen, it's very precious what John wrote. And he wrote this so we could reach the New Jerusalem. He wrote this so that we can have a practical way. So just think about what he said. In these items that we're covering in this section in the morning, of the cycle of divine life. First, he says you have the divine life. He says, what do we report to you? I'm not going to tell you about trumpets, bulls, and antichrist. I'm going to tell you about maintaining your divine life with God. And I know that by this, there'll be fellowship. There'll be a flow. I saw a flow coming from the throne of God. And that throne was from God and from the Lamb. There's no separation between them and the Spirit. And then, in that flow, if you stay in that flow, that's what I'm reporting to you. That's the most important thing. And then, when you're in this flow, there's something that will come to you called light. Walk in that light. Don't get out of the light. Stay in the light, because the light is God's shining on you to keep you in the light. You know, if you're walking along in the street of the New Jerusalem, and you're walking along, if you get out of the street, you're out of the flow, right? The brothers brought that out the other day. We need to stay in the divine fellowship. And that's the light. The light comes. One thing about the light is it's very specific. Sometimes the Lord will touch you. That word you spoke, that thought you had, that motive in your heart, that action you took, and the Lord just shine on it. Because the Lord wants to bring you back into the fellowship. Otherwise, He cannot reach the goal of the New Jerusalem. He cannot bring and build up His city and His lovely bride. So He's bringing you the divine light to guide you. And then, the light is not to condemn you, like our brother said, make you run away. The light is so you just confess. Lord, I agree with you.
Amen.
I agree with you. I don't argue about that. Lord, yes, I am that way.
Amen.
Lord, I repent. Thank you for your cleansing blood.
Amen.
So this is another item. And then tomorrow, the next days, we'll see the final item is the anointing. The wonderful anointing of the Spirit keeps us in this divine fellowship.
Amen.
So saints, these are the precious things that John wrote to help the saints, even though he saw this tremendous end of the age vision, the vision of eternity he saw, he knew to reach that goal, the New Jerusalem, we just need to walk in this life and be under this divine light and be under the shining. And for that, we have the blood to cleanse us and we have all God's provisions. So praise the Lord that we have this book of 1 John to show us this cycle of the divine life. Amen. So, if John said this, he says, I'm reporting to you. These are the real crucial items. These are the mysteries. And saints, we all have this experience. And this is the experience that will bring you into God's goal. So this is most precious. So let's just look at these five practical points regarding the light. Let's read A together.
We must desire, accept, and receive the Lord's shining.
Amen. So, you know, in Daniel 9:17, Daniel is confessing the sins of Israel and all the fallen situation that's happened that they got into captivity. But Daniel does not run away from the light. He actually says, Lord, shine on us. Shine your face upon us. We need your shining. So he's asking, Lord, I see our condition isn't very good, but I ask for more light. So we should have that same attitude. And in Psalm 80, verse 3, several times the psalmist says, Lord, cause your face to shine upon me. Don't run away from the Lord. Just say, Lord, I want your shining.
Amen.
You know, I need your shining.
Amen.
Then B, let's read B. We must turn our hearts and open ourselves to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 3, what's there? Moses is being read, but a veil lies on their heart. This means even you can read the Scripture, if you're veiled, if you're looking someplace else, you can be veiled and you won't see anything. You won't see the Lord. So what do we need to do? We need to say, Lord, turn my heart.
Amen.
The key in 2 Corinthians 3 is whenever the heart turns to the Lord.
Amen.
So we must always turn to the Lord, because maybe there's a veil. Something's distracting you. Something's between you and the Lord. You're consumed by something. Something is just making you anxious. Your thoughts are all about that. So just turn your heart. And when you turn, you'll see the Lord. That's the sequence in 2 Corinthians. Then C. Let's read C.
You
should put a stop to our views, our ways of looking at things, our feelings, opinions, and words, and just open to the Lord as light. Sorry, brother, when we were fellowshipping, we really enjoyed this section of Martha and Mary. That means even in your serving, you're doing so much serving, your heart could be away from the Lord. And wasn't it a mercy that Martha's saying, Lord, what about Mary? You know, a lot of times our serving, we're in darkness. I'm serving more than that brother. That brother, he's kind of worldly. What's going on? You're just criticizing. You found that you're serving, you're lifting up, you're serving, you expect others to serve like you. But what did the Lord say? He said, Martha, you're troubled and anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part, the good part. That must have just touched Martha. Because, like our brother read later in John, it says, when they're at the house of Bethany, it's a much more peaceful situation. It just says, Lazarus is there. He's a resurrected one. Mary is there, ready to pour the ointment on the Lord and give her all. And then it says, and Martha served. So it's very peaceful because Martha had let the Lord shine on her about her concepts, her feelings. Even in her serving, she realized, Lord, even in my serving, I'm just making a big commotion and it's all about me. So she got the help because she did not stand with her way of looking at things. So saints, even in our serving, we have to be sensitive. Lord, I'm always open to your light.
Yeah.
Okay, D. Let's read D. We should not dispute with enlightening within,
but immediately accept, so it, and deal with it accordingly.
You know, these two references here, one is from Isaiah, when he sees the Lord on the throne, he just says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm a dwelling among a people of unclean lips. But first he sees himself. So there's no negotiation. He doesn't say, Lord, I do some things good. I do some things not so good. He just says, Lord, there's nothing in me compared to you. You're on the throne. You're everything. You're wonderful. Lord, I'm just a worm. That's a very absolute. That means he wasn't negotiating. When the light comes to you, don't negotiate. Just admit, Lord, yes. Lord, I am this way. Lord, cleanse me with your precious blood. And then that angel came and touched his lips. The Lord has a way to touch us and purify us. And Luke 5 is where Peter said to the Lord, Lord, depart from me. I'm an unclean man. I'm a sinful man. So when we really see the Lord, we don't negotiate. We don't dispute with that light. We fully just take it as it is. And this is where many times when the light comes to us, we get off because we negotiate with the Lord or we try to protect ourselves. Saints, there's nothing to protect. Just open fully to the light. The Lord loves you and his blood is just provision for you. He's just shining his light because he wants to get into you a little deeper. He's not condemning you to go run away from him. He's shining so that you'll just let go of yourself. You'll just let go of that darkness which you consider light, and then the Lord can come in.
Yeah.
So that's why we shouldn't dispute. And then E, let's read E.
We should not only obey the Lord shining once,
but also learn
to continually keep ourselves under the enlightening we have received.
You know, Psalm 36:9 is a very precious verse. It says, in thy light we see light. So saints, through this shining of light, don't try to analyze yourself. Never get introspective. If you get introspective, you're trying to take a flashlight and shine light on yourself. It's not going to produce anything. But the psalmist says, in thy light, it's just a mercy when the Lord will shine on us. Because we cannot see ourselves. We cannot be separated from ourselves and look back and see what we're where we're fallen. But once the Lord's light shines us on us, what a mercy. Oh, Lord, I can repent. I can turn. I can put my hands on the Lord and say, Lord, you're the one. I just fully identify with you. This is the way when the light comes. We just stay in the light and the Lord grows in us.
Amen.
So this way will cause a growth unto maturity.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this divine light.
Amen.
And this is the way God will get his goal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I was just enjoying the Lord this morning and I was trying to sing a little song. It's kind of embarrassing to sing a little song in front of a whole bunch of people. But you know, sometimes you're just enjoying the Lord. So I suggest when you're having time with the Lord, you just sometimes the Lord will give you, I call it a little ditty. A ditty means it's a little song you and the Lord have going, but probably no one else is ever going to be able to sing it, right? But just enjoy it at that time. So this has a familiar tune, but it's fairly butchered, so let's sing this way. I'm walking in the street of fellowship. I'm walking in the light of life. I'm not wandering to the right or left. I'm letting God shine on my path, exposing my thoughts and all my intents, so I can turn from darkness to light. I'm walking in the light of life. I'm on the way to the New Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we just keep walking in this light.
Amen.
So wonderful to be in this shining light.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the focus together. Are you ready?
Go.
For our relationship with God in life is unbreakable. However, we need to learn to maintain our fellowship with Him by living in the divine light and by remaining open to its shining. This will cause
us to grow in the divine life unto maturity.
Can we pray 2x2 and you can come out?
Amen.
2x2, 1 minute.
Oh, Lord Jesus.